Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hello, celebrity gossip enthusiasts. I'm Us Weekly's entertainment director, Travis Cronin, and you're tuned in to Us Weekly's Hot Hollywood Podcast. Be sure we break down all of the hottest celebrity gossip stories of the week, the wild, the wacky, you know, because celebrities, they're like us, but, you know, with a little bit more money and craziness sometimes. I could not do this without my two lovely co-hosts digging into all of this celebrity gossip of me with me. Well, first on the mic, you can hear her now tapping. It's arbiter of beauty and style, Gwen Flamberg.
Tap, tap, tap. Is this thing on? Of course it is. Just like my lipstick. Not enough today, guys. It's so great to be here.
I love when you tap, tap in on the mic, mainly on our other podcast. Well, I still can't tell if she's here for the right reasons, but she's cute, so I'm going to give her a rose anyway. It's baby woman Sarah Heron.
Wow. I love that. I like that intro. That might be one of my favorites yet. I didn't get the tap, tap, tap thing, but I guess I got to listen to more Glam Squad.
You got to listen to more Glam Squad and stay gorgeous, Sarah. You know, that's really what we're going for here. Well, we have so much fun news today. I can't wait to talk about Jason Sudeikis and Olivia Wilde. There is a lot of royal stuff. But of course, before we get into it, let us start with our woes of the week. The story that made my co-hosts and I, you know what we did? We clutched our proverbial pearls like the heart of the ocean before we threw it in because we were so aghast at this content. Gwen Flamberg, what made you grasp your pearls / heart of the ocean?
Well, guys, I don't know if you follow the queen, otherwise known as Martha Stewart, but she posted a photo after she got her hair done by her hair guru, John Barrett. That's actually where I first saw it posted. And then I, you know, scrabbled over to Martha's Instagram and she had posted this incredible selfie looking like, I mean, a teenager. Like she is, Martha Stewart is 81 years old, you guys. I will have what she's having. I don't know who her plastic surgeon is. I think it might be Andrew Giacono, but I need to know. I need to find out for the masses because she just looks so incredible. Maybe it's her relationship with Snoop. Maybe you need to have best friends. Maybe you need to smoke a little bit of the wacky tobacco. I don't know, but she looks incredible.
I also loved from this week that she was on stage at some panel and my friend was there and posted it that she was drinking margarita out of a measuring cup. And I just thought it was like the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. And clearly there's a lower and upper facelift happening there, but a lot of people in Hollywood have that. And no one looks as good as Martha, even 10, 20 years before. Mm-hmm. I If you had to guess, Gwen, what is going on there? It's obviously lower and upper facelift. There's some microcurrent, but what is that extra snatchness in the jaw?
There's something going on with the jaw. And I would imagine that maybe she had an implant put in there. Maybe in addition or after the knife work, she had some threads put in. Although I don't think most plastic surgeons say that thread lifts are just absolutely terrible once you put, you know, once you want to do knife work. I don't know what it is. I think it's just exceptionally great work by an exceptionally skilled surgeon. And I think that Martha went in and said, like, I don't want to look crazy. I don't want to look unnatural. I want to look like I looked when I was 27. And by golly, she does.
She looks hotter than when she was 27.
Way. And I love the makeup that she wears. And she's just not subscribing to any of the tropes about what you should look like when you're older. And, you know, the thing that I love most about Martha is that she is in on the damn joke.
Yeah.
On the joke. That's why she's drinking a margarita out of the measuring cup. And I love her. I love her. I mean, I once heard an incredible story about Martha Stewart, who right after she had done that little prison stint, remember?
She was in Teresa's camp.
A Bikram yoga class, and she was wearing a sweatsuit. I don't know why she chose to wear, apparently it was like a terry cloth sweatsuit. Like, this was in the age of Juicy Couture. She's wearing this terry sweatsuit during a Bikram class. And basically in Bikram, you know, when I used to do Bikram religiously, you are a puddle of sweat.
Hot.
I wear like a little teeny shorts and a, you know, bra top, but a workout top. But Martha, no qualms about stripping down to her damn bra and panties in this Bikram class. Like, she is real. She is a real one. And, you know, here's to you, Martha Stewart, keep doing you, and invite us over, because we would love to have you on any of our podcasts, especially if you would serve us a meal and let us ride your Frisian horses. Let's
bless.
Do it.
I would just take a look at the tablescape. I'll just take that at the jaw and the tablescape. I feel like that is how she chops up her vegetables now, just with her jawbone and her chin, because it is that sharp and not serrated. Well, baby woman, Sarah Huron, please tell me you're going to talk about Vanderpump Rules.
Well, of course I am. I will say, though, all this prison talk did remind me of the iconic news out of Jen Shaw's stint behind bars today. I don't know if you saw this, but her manager, which I guess she still is paying from jail, has confirmed that she is creating a play with her fellow inmates titled The Real Housewives of Bryan. The production is, quote, still in early development, because Shaw is teaching some of her crew how to read and write. So that's just an important update from Bryan prison in Texas. Jen Shaw is not only a teacher, but a director, a producer, and putting on a production behind bars. And I just mean, get me Andy and a camera to Texas, because I need to see this production. I would pay to watch this production. And I have
that's what I think. That's a good fundraising opportunity for the inmates.
Oh, I think so as well. In other Bravo news, something we did have was a camera on Tom Schwartz as he attempted to be on Watch What Happens Live. And I say attempted because I have never gasped, clutched my pearls, screamed at the television, been in shock, rewound, fast forwarded, wrote 5 stories this morning, was up at the crack of dawn just typing away, because he was on Watch What Happens Live for the first time since Scandoval, and Andy was asking all the questions. And in true Schwartz fashion, he tries to like play the victim, but then will like drop kind of a bomb, but then downplay it. He was wearing weights on his wrists to try to stop himself from touching his face, because clearly that's what he does when he's nervous and lying. And exactly. And he said there was a drinking game going around from his last appearance, so he's trying to touch his face less. He had John Owen Lowe, Rob Lowe's son, who's making that show with him, next to him. And thank God he is a fan of Vanderpump Rules, because I think they asked this kid one question, which was, how do you think of your dad's sex tape? Because there was just so much Vanderpump to get to. And the revelations are as follows. Tom Schwartz found out that Raquel and Sandoval slept together in August.
Which we sort of knew.
Right. But we didn't know Schwartz knew.
No.
August.
Wow.
That he thought it was a one night stand at the end of August. And that then it turned into an emotional affair, which was inappropriate, but he thought it wasn't linear. He just kept saying it wasn't linear. And John Owen Lowe was like, what does that mean, Tom Schwartz?
What does that mean?
He was doing a great job.
Good question.
Good question. Him and Andy were like, John Owen, John Owen Lowe and Andy Cohen were on the same page, and Tom Schwartz was on another planet. And then he said that in January, Sandoval came to him and admitted that he's in love with Raquel and that this has been continuing the whole time. Schwartz trying to pretend he didn't know this was still happening is a joke, because he also admitted in January that he was in Big Bear with Raquel, Sandoval, and Joe, the hairstylist. He's like pretending he's not dating. Schwartz is pretending he's not dating. Yeah. There was a receipt that surfaced online on Reddit a couple of weeks ago. And that was, I think, what begged the question. And Schwartz tried to say that Sandoval smuggled Raquel in like contraband to Big Bear.
She's 5'11".
Wait, what could he do at that point? He was saying, because he was in love with her, and that he was claiming Sandoval kept saying he tried to break up with Ariana, like it wasn't working. He promised he would, like excuse after excuse after excuse. And every time Tom Schwartz would say something that was like, all right, finally, like hold him accountable, be mad at him, he would be like, but like, you know, he's been such a good friend to me. And like, I don't know, next time you see Sandoval, maybe give him a hug.
Oh, that was a good Schwartz.
Because he, thank you. Because he went, because Sandoval went to St. Louis, went home, and someone threatened to pour a drink on him and called him a cheater, which he is. And Schwartz had the audacity to say that that was unacceptable, threatening to throw a drink on him, when, as we know, just 8 or so years ago, Mr. Tom Schwartz poured a beer on his wife, Katie Maloney. So the audacity of this, these men, I'm worked up. I'm sorry. It was just the most shocking 35 minutes of my life.
It was, I wasn't expecting it to be so shocking. I felt like people had sort of come out with everything that they knew. And if we didn't, they were saving it all for the reunion and we were going to get no more tidbits. But this was much more than a tidbit.
And I fear that the reunion, I mean, the reunion's going to be iconic. Andy confirmed that he did sit downs with Sandoval, Ariana, and Raquel separately, in addition to asking all those questions in front of the group. I know it's going to be good. They're going to air bonus footage on Peacock. I'm a big Peacock girl. However, even in this conversation, Andy was saying that Schwartz was contradicting himself from things he said at the reunion, and the reunion isn't going to air until the end of May. So like, why did we film this so early? Maybe, I guess, to capture the emotions, but like, I don't know. We can't, I don't think we can put the cameras down. This isn't ever, this is a moving situation. Like, we need to be filming these people Big Brother style all the time.
Here's what I took away. My biggest shock, that was not shocking, that Schwartz said was, so when Tom Sandoval was with Crazy Kristen, he made out with Ariana at the Golden Nugget in Las Vegas. And then they had definitely an emotional affair that we watched played out for the cameras. Yes. And there's, you know, I've seen friends go through this with other guys where they cheat and then years later, they do the exact same thing to the person they cheated with. And this is just an example of that. How you lose them. How you get them is how you lose them. And then he had a one night stand with Raquel. He was obsessed with her having this. I mean, it's just history repeating itself. And it is just not good. And what Schwartz said about Tom Sandoval having OCD and being very obsessive. Quote, and that Raquel was like his heroine.
Raquel is very Tom's Twilight. Heroine.
Very Twilight of him.
That's an insane thing to say.
The whole thing is insane, because when you are a reality star, when you are on a reality show, it's like your entire life is under a microscope, and you have to know that unless you are an insane narcissist, and you've got to behave like a good human. Otherwise, it's all going to come out. It's like, how do these people think that their actions are not going to be exposed? Like every single action, everyone's going to know exactly when stuff started. Just takes a little digging.
Yeah. And they're all there and they're all going to talk. And Ariana and Tom Sandoval have shows coming up this weekend on the same day. Tom Sandoval is playing with the most extras in Orange County. And on the same night, Ariana, Katie Maloney, and I believe Christina are DJing at Emo Night in LA, which is like a traveling show that they do all over the place with like 2007 emo throwbacks. So they're going to have like a concert battle.
Katie and Ariana.
Who? Sheena?
Sheena, Katie, and Ariana. Oh, Sheena, star of Jonas Brothers music video Pizza Girl, to DJ Emo Night.
Oh, thank God. The queen of Azusa.
Yes.
Well, good for them. But the dueling shows is just, it's just too beautiful and perfect for me. Well, that, Sarah, also made me go, whoa, several times over. She is not your heroine. You're just a cheater. But what, you know, because you took that one, I'm going to talk about Miss Jennifer Lopez, arguably the hottest and most beautiful woman on the planet. And, you know, I never mind when J-Lo does any business adventure just because I think she deserves it. And she's worked hard. She's amazing. But her launching a alcohol line, a lower calorie alcohol line, when she barely ever drinks and is like very anti-sugar and drinking, was so strange. Now, their social media commenters were like, you know, girl, aren't you sober? You know, why are you releasing this booze line? She has all of these videos and photos of her, you know, almost sipping these drinks in Italy and all over the place. And it just seems like such a fake money grab, which exactly word for word what so many of the commenters said. Well, her rep told us that, you know, do your research to why she launched this and what her habits are. For the record, she drinks, and you can see her drink on social and on Getty Images.
No, like, J-Lo, drink. You don't drink. You can see Sarah Herron drink on her social. You don't see J-Lo drink on hers. And that's why she looks like that and I look like me.
J-Lo's brand should be called Sarah Herron Drinks, and it should just be like all different cocktails from around the globe, because I feel like we're very good, Sarah Herron, at leaning into the drink of the moment.
Absolutely.
With an Ohio State stamp on all of them.
Exactly.
An OU stamp on all of them. Should change it. But it's just a little ridiculous. And just how comfortable she looks with those cocktails, I think, really set people in a tizzy for good reason.
Also, Ben Affleck is sober. She's basically sober. Like, it just doesn't really feel. I feel like you can sell us a lot of things, J-Lo, but like alcohol just isn't one of them. So maybe pick one of the other a million things.
Right. You have so many other businesses. Just like expand one. Well, boozing it up. Well, let's bust into some of this news today. Raise a J-Lo toast, which is, I think, a glass of water with amino acids in it. And talk about Olivia Wilde and Jason Sudeikis. Because I feel like here on this podcast, and hopefully the listeners out there, knew that this drama was not over. Neither of these two go quietly. And we have seen that in the courts. We will ask our legal experts Sarah Herron to weigh in soon. Don't worry. Well, Olivia Wilde claims that Jason has paid her $0 in child support and leaving her with the burden of paying for 100% of the costs for the children's care. Now, in these new legal documents, Olivia is asking the Los Angeles judge to have Jason pay her some money in a reasonable amount of his child support based on his extremely high income, she says. Wilde, she says she has received nothing from him since their split, which is sort of wild that she's been forced to pay for everything, food, clothing, and childcare. And in the filing, Olivia directly addresses the court and saying that he's not paying anything. I've been bearing 100% of the costs, extracurricular, transportation. And she also said, my favorite, that Jason is far wealthier than I am. And it's the standard in California that if one party makes a lot more, then they pay a little bit more, which is pretty obvious. Now, this isn't the only thing, accusation and money she's asking for in this statement. She has Laura Wasser as her divorce attorney, and she's looking she's looking for legal fees and asking for $500,000 to cover those expenses. I mean, the document says Olivia will continue to incur substantial attorney and expert fees and costs to bring this matter to trial, given the tactics that have been taken by Jason and his counsel. Therefore, Olivia requests the court order that Jason make a contribution of no less than $500,000 towards Olivia's fees and costs. Now, before we get into it, a source close to Jason does say that Olivia and Jason share costs equally and fairly throughout their marriage, including or their relationship, including everything related to their children. And Jason took it upon himself to initiate the proceedings in the first place so that the kids could probably be paid for by both parents. And, you know, he's great for the court deciding what is fair going forward. Now, this still doesn't really answer why you're paying $0 in child support. I guess he just sort of thought that it was when the kids are with him, he pays. When the kids are with her, she pays. I know legal expert baby woman. Tell us what's happening.
Well, from my understanding, it's first of all, a classic he said, she said. And the fact that Jason and Olivia weren't married adds another layer to this, because there was not like a
alimony
or like union put in place. There's no spousal support. They do have two kids together, but this isn't something that's predetermined because they weren't legally married. This is what marriage a lot of times comes down to, the legal stuff, and how we, when it ends, this is how it breaks up. Now, Jason's team is obviously arguing that they were splitting things the whole time, and that he actually was the one to file a year and a half ago to get a more formal process put in place to prevent this. Olivia's team is arguing that it's been a year and a half and she's still allegedly paying for everything. I have a hard time believing that Jason Sudeikis isn't paying for the kids when they're with him. Maybe there's like large sums of whenever they're their school tuition.
I think
like something they can work out, you know, via maybe there's like celebrity Venmo where you can have a cap more than $3,000 and you can Venmo quicker. Cause right now Venmo, you can only do $3,000 at a time. I only know that cause one time I won a golf, a Super Bowl pool and I won $6,000. So I got two Venmos.
Ooh,
anyway,
what pool is that?
My family's, you can maybe be entered this coming next week. $100 a box. Anyway,
my money's on Gronk.
I digress. So it's a classic he said, she said. I think that this is going to be something, though, that a lot of times, you know, you have receipts, right? So in an Andy Cohen reunion world, it would be Olivia Wilde handing over her receipts to Andy Cohen and Jason Sudeikis handing on for his receipts. In the court of law, it'll be a judge. So I think this will work itself out in some sense. There will be a way to be like, you need to pay this much and maybe in back support. I kind of feel like it's going to be more of a moving forward thing and they're not going to go retroactively for this last year and a half because Jason Sudeikis did file something to kind of, he raised the issue first. At least that's what his side is saying. Yeah. I just think it's funny that this is all coming out and then there's like paparazzi photos of them hugging at their son's soccer game. Like Olivia Wilde to me just wants so badly to like have this narrative of like all's good and like I'm great and like the don't worry darling, like don't forget about that, the drama, it wasn't real. Meanwhile, like you see Florence Pugh promoting the Zach Braff movie like nonstop, her ex-boyfriend, and she still wouldn't do like one question about Don't Worry Darling. And now the Jason Sudeikis stuff, like she's just getting a bad rep everywhere and is trying to protect it, but like court documents are court documents and they're gonna get out there, so I don't think this is anywhere near over.
Well, the Honorable Judge Flamberg, what do you say in this ruling versus Sudeikis versus Wilde?
I think that they need to stop being so contentious because they have children and they're both very famous people, and it's hard to feel bad for two people who both have a lot of money,
right? Aren't they both rich?
Both have homes in various places. Like, you know, I mean, come on, guys. Get it together. Play nice. You've got kids. Get over it. She cheated on you. You might have been a real asshole. Like, it's just enough. Enough. I think it's kind of crazy because they both kind of make enough money that they don't really need money from the other. I kind of love that in this instance of a Hollywood split, she has more money than he does. However,
well, she's saying he has more money.
I don't know if that's the case. First of all, she was married to a prince. That's number one. I'm sure she got some money from her first marriage. Second, she's a movie star.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
He's a TV writer. And
I mean, it's pretty big. I bet they probably make similar amounts of money.
Well, and you make so much more money for writing than you do for acting.
But she's directing, he's writing. They're both getting doubled up. Yeah. They're in all their movies and their shows.
She has had beauty contracts where in some years she's made millions of dollars. Like, it's, I just feel like neither one of them really needs the other one for support. Let's say they're just kind of wanting to air that the other isn't being communicative. Mm-hmm. And so they're just kind of like airing all of this nastiness that doesn't really need to be aired. So guys, just like get it together.
I know. Just like have your lawyer's email about this money, your assistants. You have so many people. This isn't like a regular divorce where you separate with your lawyers and then it's sort of on you. But they have tons of assistants that can talk to other assistants and figure all that out, hopefully. But I think you're right. Just you both have enough money. Stop nickel and diming.
Exactly.
Well, let's move to the future, everyone. It's May 6th. Formerly Prince is about to become King Charles the First. Is there another Charles? There has to be other Charles. The third. All right, thank you. Number Trace will be coronated.
It's coronation day, as they say in Frozen.
As they say in Frozen, coronation day. Well, and there will be lots of cute little adorable kids, just like Anna in that scene. Personally, well, William and Kate will, of course, be there. They will be front and center at the coronation. It remains to be seen whether Prince Harry and Meghan will be there. Now, we know that while the palace has said they are not working royals, so they won't be, in the parades, but they're still family members, so they have been invited. But we don't really know. We don't know if they're going to be there. They're invited, but their RSVP is pending.
And here's the thing. Apparently, if they do come, they won't be allowed on the balcony.
Right.
Because it was reported yesterday that only working royals will be on the balcony. We know about the balcony. That's where William and Kate kissed when they got married. It's where, like, all the pomp and circumstance happens for royal events. Well, I don't know if they're going to come and to be in the shadows, in the background. Like, these two are not people we know who like to be in the shadows, because they might be in the shadows for a family event, but then they're going to air all that dirty laundry in a documentary, Netflix show, a book, and God knows what.
I have a question. Do you think it's better for Harry and Meghan, because I kind of can see both ways, to go and look like, quote unquote, the bigger people?
Yes.
Or if they go, does it look like, oh, you're here for the attention, but you like quit? Like, what are you doing here? You don't belong here. Like, you don't even go here anymore. And if they don't go, is it like too much of a statement? If they do go, is it like kind of saying what they wanted, which was like to not be involved in this? Like, I think any argument is valid.
I love that you don't go here anymore.
You don't even go. She doesn't even go here.
I love it. But I think that what they should do is they should be the bigger people and go and be content with being in the shadows. Do I think that that's what they're going to do?
As Ashley Simpson once said, I'm living in the shadows of someone else's dream, trying to find a hand to hold, but every touch felt cold to me.
Well, those were the pieces of her. I think that Prince Harry and Meghan should absolutely go to the coronation. And while I think they don't love to be in the shadows, I think they like to be the bigger person at all times. And going makes them the bigger person. And I don't think that they can resist that carrot being dangled in front of them to say, look at how amazing we are. We have shown up, even though we are so scorned. Because if they don't go, then they're sort of the villains again. And they want to be the bigger person here.
If they do go, bets on what Meghan's going to wear. I say fuchsia crop top, because now she can wear bright colors.
She'll be wearing Moschino, the Katy Perry burger dress, maybe the chandelier, something understated.
Oh my God, that's such a good question. I think like bright red.
Oh, and yeah, like, the Scarlet Letter.
Yeah, and if she's feeling crazy, maybe like a tiara. but like a fake one.
Shut up, like from Claire's.
Yeah, like a pretty princess tiara and be like, oh, it's Lilibet tiara.
See, if she did that, I would be so much more involved in like the petty nature of it. Because just going and wearing like a white cream colored Olivia Pope outfit and trying to look, you know, really sophisticated. No, I want you to show up bright red. I want there to be exposed leg, maybe even above the knee, you know, hemline, just to really send them off their rockers, but really just sort of what she preaches, which is, you know, I wanted to be my own self. So I left here. So come back as this sort of powerful woman who has gone on her own. Yeah, sparkly nail polish. It's whatever she wants to do, that's her own style that's sort of turned up. I would love to see. Well, I'm really also really excited for Prince George, because Prince George is going to be there. He is, of course, second in line to the throne. He's going to be one of the pages. Some of Camilla's grandkids will also be the pages. And, you know, I'm tuned in just to see like adorable royal children like running down that aisle being little pages. That is the content we are here for at Us Weekly. That is adorable stuff.
Also, don't forget March 6th is also Archie's birthday. So if Archie goes to the coronation, do we sing to Archie? Do Meghan and Harry use that as their excuse to get out of going? Is it like, is somehow Archie at turning 4 is going to be in the shade of it all?
I hope they have a cake for him downstairs that they brought themselves and unveil and start eating during Prince King Charles at that point.
As he's being like sworn in, it's like, oh no, Archie, his birthday cake, it just got here.
We have the sparkler went off.
Handing out cupcakes in each of them in the church.
Megan's asking people their allergies because she's eating different kinds of cupcakes.
That is amazing. Well, let us move on, because I can't get enough of the Gwyneth Paltrow story. She's still lost half a day skiing, and I don't think that we are giving her the sympathy she needs for that half a day skiing. I hope she gets it back. But now Hilary Duff, and mainly her husband, is involved with a little Twitter war. Now, Matthew Coma, who is married to Hilary Duff and also sort of considers himself a funny man on Twitter, I'd agree, he's pretty funny. He has been banned from Twitter after trolling Gwyneth Paltrow and her ski crash trial. I mean, it's so funny. He tweeted, "Goodbye, Twitter. The troll was worth it." He wrote this last Tuesday. Now, the reason he was banned is because he changed his personal Twitter's account to a profile photo of Gwyneth Paltrow as she appeared in court. And he changed the name of his page to Gwyneth Paltrow. His handle was still Matthew Cuomo. But I guess Elon Musk hated that. And when people try to impersonate other celebs, they get barred. And I just think it was so funny that he was trying to say that he was Gwyneth Paltrow and just got kicked off of Twitter. Just as long as the ski trial goes longer, I am happy.
Yeah,
good for you.
That was very funny. He also like has trolled Maddie Pruitt from The Bachelor before, who, if you know, I don't know if you guys have seen, but I've become quite a, not really a TikTok sensation, but my picture has been all over TikTok because people are making fun of the Maddie Pruitt quote she gave me about designing modest swimsuits to align with her faith. And everyone is screenshotting the story and mocking it. And my face is just there.
Because amazing. Amazing. I hope you got a modest swimsuit out of it.
I know, me too. But Matthew, he's very funny. And I'm devastated that trial is over. But right after we finished last week, obviously the jury ruled in Gwyneth's favor. So, and as she said to him as she leaves, "I wish you well," she said to the doctor.
Yeah, she did. "I wish you well" is just fantastic. Well, let's move on to an Us Weekly exclusive, because we love an exclusive. So Lucas Gage and Gwen, you know him as a hairstylist better than anyone.
Can you believe it?
Can you believe it? Now, Gwen, why don't you give us his full celebrity list? Because I feel like I always miss some.
So Lucas Gage is now involved. I mean, are they engaged, Travis?
That's the story.
Appleton.
Yeah. So that's the story.
Chris Appleton, who works with J-Lo, Ariana Grande, Christina, I mean, ex-Dina, like basically Christina Aguilera, like basically any
snatch pony.
Diva with a genie pony.
Yes.
The work of Chris Appleton. And he's a star in his own right.
He absolutely is.
Billboard. Yes, a billboard on Sunset Boulevard.
And he's a very attractive man. So Us Weekly broke the news today in print and online that Lucas Gage and Chris Appleton are engaged.
Wild.
So sources tell us that, you know, they have been dating for just a few short weeks and they got engaged before they had rings. And then the two of them the next day went to 24 Karat in Beverly Hills and picked out rings together. Now, sources close to the situation tell us that while this is moving very fast, it is sort of Chris's style to fall hard. Chris, of course, you know, he was closeted for a lot of his life. He came out later in life. He has kids and Lucas is very into him. But friends are really excited because they seem really into each other and are excited about the coupling, even though it is fast. Usually this is a fastness save for lesbians. So I'm really giving them the benefit of the doubt that two gay guys are doing the U-Haul lesbian trick about getting engaged on the second date. So I'm here for it. You know, it happened to me. My stepmom's second date, she did bring a U-Haul to our house and now it's been 35 years. So it really can work out.
Oh my God.
I mean, 100%. And Chris is just such a beautiful man. I feel like he knows what he wants when he wants it, and he is not afraid to move fast.
Yeah, he is. He really like sees what he wants and goes after it. And that's why, even though it's super fast, the sources who are friends tell us that they're actually pretty excited for them. Now, there's no wedding planning yet, but can you think about how star-studded that could be? Less. Well, let's get into some crevices, shall we? Let's burrow in the caves and dig deep into some crevices. Baby woman Sarah Huron, why don't you tell us about the newest spinoff and iteration of the Kardashians, Kravis Manor, Courtney and Travis dying. I don't know what they decided to call it. No, Till Death Do Us Part. Tell us about the Kravis trailer.
Till Death Do Us Part, Courtney and Travis will premiere on Hulu April 13th. And no one cares. No, Courtney and Travis have a new show or new wedding special that's coming to Hulu. It's like a couple weeks before Kardashians is officially back in May on Hulu for season 3. And this is just was offensive to me as a Kardashians fan. Oh. Because when they switched to Hulu, one of their selling points to all the fans was that we are going to be doing things in more real time. Enough with this a year later. Let's talk about it. We are coming up on 1 year of Kravis getting married 3 times. A year ago, last summer, yes, I would have loved to have seen footage of Courtney puking in Vegas after marrying Travis. I would have loved to see MJ and be the witness for Travis and for Kravis's Palm Springs wedding. I would have loved to go to Italy and see like Little Huddy of all people, who now Landon is dating Charlie and Little Huddy was at the, like, there's so many things that would have mattered.
I can't tell them apart.
I know, would have mattered then. Now, I mean, are they kidding me with this? We're supposed to care about Kravis's wedding? Do you
tell them, Sarah? I 100% agree that the turnover from Hulu was their biggest selling point, other than it's just prettier to look at and betterly shot with more expensive cameras. But I was so into every detail of this Kravis wedding, all of the Dolce & Gabbana recreated, upcycled, but like new fabric for the new Miss Booties situation. I would have loved to see that last year. This year, I care so much less. They've sort of been out of the news. They sort of tempered down and settled into their, you know, married life together. And I really, really don't care. Do you know what I care more about, Sarah, in Kardashian world?
What?
It's a McDonald's drive-thru. And Khloe and Tristan were photographed going through a McDonald's drive-thru close to their home in Calabasas. I'm sure it's their local McDonald's. But right after Tristan Thompson just bought the house 3 doors down from Khloe Kardashian, sources tell us that, well, he did this, of course, to co-parent. He is always trying to get Khloe back. He never, in a moment, even when he's cheating on her with several women, still wants to be with her. And that Khloe, while was not warming up to the idea, is sort of indulging it. And now we have photographs of them at a McDonald's drive-thru together. And what says more comfortable couple, and also for Khloe, I've given up, versus a McDonald's drive-thru? What do you guys think of the new photos?
I mean, I hope she was getting a large Diet Coke, which is what I get at McDonald's, and maybe a hash brown if it was before 10 a.m. or 10:30. I think
they have them all day now. Don't you?
No, they switched it back. They did breakfast, because that's when I became addicted to the hash brown. And then just last year, they took away all day breakfast. So
how dare
I know my golden arches. I know my golden arches. No, I mean, one, I like seeing Chloe at McDonald's because I feel like we really lost Chloe in her potential Ozempic and, you know, workout craze. I know I wanted to be healthy, but every once in a while, McDonald's French fry, I feel like it could do us all good. A little DC, a little aspartame, get the body flowing.
We're in America.
We're in America. You know how I feel about Tristan Third Trimester Thompson. I can't stand him. I don't like that he moved in a couple of doors down. I think it's very Kanye of him. Apparently he's a great dad. That's what the Kardashians just keep telling us. I hope that
he seems like a great dad.
I mean, I don't know if Theo, his 16-month-old son with Marilee Nichols, would agree, or Prince, the kid with Jordan Craig, but maybe True and little baby whose name we don't know might think so because he's making an effort to be there for them. But what about the other kids? I don't totally know. Chloe, stay strong. Please get a different boyfriend to make him jealous. And that's what I want on season 3.
Just to move on with.
I mean, yeah. Chloe, you look better than you have ever looked in your life. It might be thanks to Ozempic, but we don't judge. Go find a hot boyfriend. Maybe someone who's like a little bit out of, you know, the scene. Like, I would love to see her with like a gym top type, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. We've been begging for this for Chloe for so long. Just date a non-Hollywood, non-sports player, please. And just the two of them, maybe they're just getting Happy Meals for their kids, but it's too close for comfort. It is too close for comfort. That is, of course, comfort with a K. And I just am so worried about this because it's their pattern. It's Chloe's pattern. It's Tristan's pattern. And I am very, very, very worried about the two of them. Well, let's end on that worrying note and send our blessings up to Miss New Face, Miss New Body, Khloe Kardashians, to go out there and scoop her, possibly a Jim Toth type, maybe even Jim Toth. Who knows? He's free. Well, thank you to my hosts, Sarah and Gwen, for helping me spill all of this piping hot celeb tea today. Again, this is Travis Cronin, Us Weekly's Hot Hollywood Podcast, with your weekly peek into the glamour, glitter, fashion, fame of your favorite celebrities. It's after all, guys. You know what they are? They're just like us. They sure are at the McDonald's drive-thru. You can feel like a Kardashian today for just a couple dollars. Well, thank you guys for so much for listening. We'll be back next week with more of these stories. I feel like with these particular stories, we are really going to get a lot of through lines through this and continuing stories. So thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.